The clock's running out on December deal drops at Lowe's, but there's still time to wrap up something they'll love. Shop great gifts under $50, like the DeWalt Elite Series 100-piece bit set. Plus, if you order by 2 p.m., you get same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Shop December deal drops while you can. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Get your tickets for the Let's Not Meet live shows November 17th, Phoenix, Arizona, November 19th, St. Paul, Minnesota, and November 20th in Chicago, Illinois. Visit letsnotmeetpodcast.com/tour or just click the links in the show notes. This podcast contains adult language and content. Listener discretion is advised. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. A few years ago, my boyfriend's dad's family decided to get together, and we all chipped in to rent a condo in Ontario for the trip. His dad had a big, extended family over there that he never saw, because he only truly got along with one of his sisters. My boyfriend's mom had talked him into going out there for a visit, though, and they let me tag along, because I had been around long enough and they liked me and trusted me. I can't remember where everyone else had gone. I think it was to the beach for what was probably the third time that day. So it was just my boyfriend and me at the condo, as we were getting tired of going to the beach and just wanted to stay in the shade and do nothing for a while. We were sitting outside looking over the water, just talking about life. I had just finished reading the Harry Potter series, and we were talking about that for a bit, when this woman unexpectedly emerged from the brush that was right beside the condo. To give you an idea, this condo was situated on approximately 1 acre of land, and it was somewhat isolated in the middle of nowhere. The front side of the condo was about 70 feet from a dirt road that was seldomly used, and there were some dense trees, brush, and whatnot that surrounded the other three sides of it. So when this woman came out of the wooded area, I immediately knew that something wasn't right. She was limping, and she was only wearing one sandal. Frankly, she looked like she had been through it. She was pale, and her face was gaunt. She was very pretty, but looked so exhausted. The thing that most caught my attention, though, was her baby, who she was holding pretty tightly in her arms as she started to come towards us. I didn't know what to do, but my boyfriend got up right away and walked over to her to make sure she was okay. Meanwhile, I couldn't help but think of all of these awful things that could have possibly happened. After spending so many hours reading true horror stories on popular online forums, I couldn't help but think that something bad was about to happen. I was terrified that she'd try to do something. Now, my boyfriend is a lot more trusting than I am. His first instinct is always, "What's the problem? How can I help?" He never assumed anything bad about anyone. This woman was sobbing by the time she reached the porch of the condo, and she looked like she had been through a war zone. She was shaking, hyperventilating, and crying while she started explaining that her boyfriend was a drunk. She said that things had been getting worse and worse, and overall he had been an abusive guy. She told us that he would get pissed whenever she was focusing on the baby instead of him. And part of what pissed him off was that it wasn't his child, so he didn't care about the baby at all. She told us how this time in particular, He was drunk, and she was driving him home with the baby in the back seat. She said that he grabbed the baby's booster seat, tore it out of the car, and threw it out the window as they were driving. She said that she managed to get the baby out of the seat, but I don't remember how, because then she told us about how her boyfriend started hitting her. After that, she said that she took the baby and ran, and then we heard some yelling in the distance. We turned and saw this angry man walking up to the condo, and the woman started losing it. Clearly, still drunk and angry, this guy followed her out to our condo and was starting to come up to us. He was trying to act like he wasn't pissed. He was saying things like, "Oh, you guys found her, thanks so much. Come on, baby, let's go home." But he was slurring his speech and not doing a good job of hiding how pissed he really was. My boyfriend has always been a pacifist. Honestly, he can be kind of a pushover. He's generally non-confrontational and tries to find a way to talk things out and come to an agreement before taking any action. But before I could say anything, he was across the yard and approaching this angry drunk guy. As much of a pacifist as he is, he's also a huge guy. He's built like a football player, and he's 6'3". At the time, he was easily around 230 pounds. I've known my boyfriend since we were 10. During this trip, we were both 20, and we had been dating for just over a year. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is I know him better than anyone. He had never done anything like this before, but he went right up to the guy and said, "Don't take another step, dude." He was shaking as he said this. The guy then tried to walk around my boyfriend, and he said, "No, it's okay. I'm just going to take her home." My boyfriend stepped out in front of him, cut him off, shook his head, and said, "You're drunk, so I'm going to pretend that you just misunderstood what I said, but let's be clear, don't come any closer." At this point, the guy dropped his act of trying to pretend to be concerned and said, "You don't know what's going on. That's my girlfriend and I'm taking her home." He tried stepping around my boyfriend again, but my boyfriend blocked him once more and sternly said, "Stop." I had never heard this tone in his voice before. It was scary. It wasn't him. The guy still tried one more time, so my boyfriend put his hand on the guy's chest, pushed him back a bit, and kept his hand there as he continued, "I'm telling you right now, you're not going anywhere near that woman or the child, so you need to turn around and walk away." This guy was about 5'7", so as he looked up to threaten my boyfriend, he looked like a kid. As he looked up at my boyfriend, I could tell that he said something, but I couldn't hear it. My boyfriend said something in response, and then the guy stared at him for a moment, like he was deciding whether or not to do anything. My boyfriend finally pushed him away, which made the guy stumble back, and then he pointed at me and the woman with the baby as he mumbled something before he started to walk away. As he left, the woman began sobbing. Her baby was crying too, and I was shaking because even though my boyfriend didn't throw any punches, I could tell that he was ready to hurt the guy if anything else were to happen. We called the police, who didn't really do much of anything outside of making sure everyone was breathing. They also took the woman over to her sister's place. We didn't hear much after that, but I know that my boyfriend sent her an email once or twice, and she's now married to someone else, and she's had another child since this happened. I didn't learn until the next day that the guy had told my boyfriend that he had a gun and that he was coming back. The guy told my boyfriend that he was going to kill me and him if we tried to stop him again. Aside from that, and the fight that my boyfriend's dad got into with someone in the family, it was a really nice trip. I work at a 24-hour contact center. Most of the call center works 9 to 5, but there are a few small teams that work during after hours. The nature of the call center is that people call for interpreters, and we set up the conference. At night, most of the calls that we get are from emergency services, but interpreters could really be requested for any reason. We never know what's waiting on the other line, and those who work after hours have to deal with a lot of strange stuff. But nothing has made my skin crawl more than this one caller who started calling us. Now, we get prank calls and lewd callers on occasion, so I can't really pin down the exact time that the guy started calling, but this is the first call I remember having with him. I answered the phone and said, "Thank you for calling. How can I help you?" The man on the phone asked, "Hello, is anyone on this line?" I was confused, but I instructed him to select which language he needed an interpreter for. He then started breathing heavily on the phone and describing a vulgar sex act that he wanted to perform. I was shocked, but I couldn't help but laugh as I hung up the phone. And that was that. The call was the first of its kind. But then, about 2 weeks after that, I heard another girl on my team, as she seemed panicked after hanging up on the call. I heard a lot of the call on her end, and she was just calmly explaining the way our service worked to somebody. Just as she was saying that we accept calls from non-English speakers as well as agencies, she abruptly stopped talking and hung up. Then she turned to the rest of the team and said, "Guys, this guy just got really crazy with me on the phone, and I'm really shaken up right now." She didn't want to repeat the stuff that he had said, but after I told her about my call, she said it was pretty similar to that. I wasn't there for the next call that we got, so I don't have the best details of exactly what was said or anything, but another girl that I work with gave me a rundown. So this girl on my team stayed back to hang out with the relieving shift. My team was on the evening shift, and the relieving shift coming in after us was the graveyard shift. She said that at around 3 a.m., this guy started calling and asking for a Vietnamese interpreter. Then a woman would come on the line and speak Spanish, so they would disconnect the call from him. He kept calling, so they started to ignore his request for an interpreter. But then things started getting strange. He began saying some really rude stuff, and then they would hear the keys from his phone being pressed. Now, I had brought this up with our team leader, and she told us to trace his calls if we could, so they kept him on the line and started tracing the calls. But then they realized he was transferring the call or conferencing in another call. As they stayed on the line, the phone started ringing just like it would when someone would call. The call was then picked up and the person on the other side said, "Hello, 911, what's your emergency?" What's very strange about this is we're not in the USA. We're not even close to the USA. It's kind of hard to make a conference call if you don't know how, and it's even harder to dial an international emergency number. So we had no idea how he was doing this. The girls at work ended up apologizing to the dispatcher on the line and explained the situation to them. The dispatcher was just as freaked out about it as the coworkers were, especially since the conference continued. So this guy was just sitting there on the line, listening to these people from two different countries try to figure out why they were speaking to each other. He also called a police station in America and conferenced us into them, and then just hung up without saying anything. I'm unsure of the additional details about that call, but it seemed like it was similar to the conference he had put my coworkers on with 911. A few days after that, we started our night shift rotation, so I was then working the graveyard shift. One late night at 4 a.m., a girl that I work with calmly called out, "Oh, it's this dickhead again." She then put the phone on speaker so that we could hear what was going on. What I heard on the other line made my eyes water and my skin crawl. In the most horrible, deep, and gravelly voice, the man said that he was going to kill us. Everybody froze. This was pretty creepy, even for us. He then immediately transferred the call to another line, but this time he didn't stay quiet like he usually did. An American man answered the phone, and our creepy caller had a conversation with him while we were still on the line. After the man picked up, the creep said, "Hi, I'm just calling about the Xbox you have listed on Craigslist." "Oh yeah," the man replied. "It comes with two controllers and some games." They then went on to talk about Xbox for a few minutes, but then the guy's voice grew deep and gravelly, just as it had before, when he started spewing his creepy nonsense at us. The creep then went on to describe even more sex acts in detail that he wanted to perform on the caller and asked if they liked it. And then the call cut out. We received calls in relay, so I was the next to get the call after that. Since the call cut, my teammate warned me that he might call back right away. The phone rang right as she was warning me, so I picked up and left my name out of our standard greeting. It was him again. He then said, "Oh, hey, what was your name? I want to help you with something. So, please, tell me your name." I quickly made up a name on the spot. I said, "Mel." "Oh, Mel," the creep said. Then he used some very graphic terms to ask if I would have sex with him, and then threatened to kill me. I had him on speaker, and he quickly hung up after that. I don't want to say which country I'm located in, but my workplace is really strict, and I don't want to divulge too much information. Since I've worked on multiple shifts as we rotate, I feel like I'm on edge anytime I'm at work. I feel like at any minute, no matter when I'm working, this guy could call again. So my heart jumps every time the phone rings. To the 4 a.m. creepy caller, let's not meet. If you're dealing with hair issues like thinning or shedding, but feel totally stuck on what to try next, I get it. There are a lot of products out there, and it's hard to know which ones are actually going to do anything. That's exactly why I gave Nutrafol a closer look. It's not just hype. It's physician-formulated, clinically tested, and even recommended by dermatologists. A friend of mine started recently using Nutrafol, and I could see results for myself before they even asked me to look or give my opinion. Their hair looked thicker, healthier, and fuller after just a few months. And they couldn't stop talking about how much more confident they felt. And that's when I realized Nutrafol isn't like the rest. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand trusted by over 1.5 million people. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard and third-party certification for supplements. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription required. Automated deliveries and free shipping keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20%. Get free one-on-one naturopathic doctor consults and even a Headspace meditation membership. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code MEAT. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code MEAT.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
I'll preface this by saying I was raised by a killer. My grandfather and grandmother raised me, and when I was 17, my grandfather stalked, kidnapped, and murdered my grandmother because she wanted a divorce. I also married my ex-husband at 22, later found out that his dad was a prolific pedophile who assaulted his sisters when they were as young as 6 years old. Both my grandfather and my ex-husband's father are in prison for life, but these were two men I was extremely close to. Because of this, for a while, I was almost attracted to danger, and the warning signs of danger were easily ignored, as it was almost considered normal to me. Things stayed this way until I started listening to my intuition, and now I can spot these predatory types. They know I recognize them, and it's an unspoken thing. It's like when you're at a party and you and someone else see something funny but don't know each other very well, at least not enough to say anything, so you just look at each other and kind of engage telepathically. I've only had instances of spotting predators twice, as I don't really go out and about myself too often. Here is one of those instances, and I could tell almost immediately that something was up with this man. My mom's friend is a truck driver. My mom has been taking my daughter to play with his daughter on little play dates. They met at a church group. I came to find out later that this church group was a weird extremist version of Christianity where they believed that they were the chosen ones. This group has a whole bunch of extreme views on all kinds of weird shit, and to be frank, it's a cult. I became uncomfortable with my mom taking my daughter to these play dates once I realized how disturbed their combined beliefs were. I didn't want to cut off the play dates cold turkey for the sake of the kids, so I started taking time off of work to join them, and I told my mom that her friend from the church group wasn't allowed around my daughter unless I was there. When I first met him, he was very charming, funny, and sweet. He was also annoyingly jolly and clearly trying hard to maintain his facade of being as innocent and sweet as he could be. He used a soft voice to make me comfortable and incessantly talked about being protective to make himself seem more manly. He also had weird guidelines for his daughter, and he told me that she wasn't allowed to wear pants, only dresses. Then, while our kids were having these play dates, he started offering me drinks. He would just offer them to me one after another while we were hanging out with our kids. I'm not a drinker to begin with, and I especially don't want to drink while our kids are on a play date, and I made it very clear to him. Sometimes we met at different spots for play dates, and we once went to the beach with our girls. He set up this little blanket, and while we were sitting down and watching the kids, he told me I should come closer. I didn't know how to react to him, so I just said, "I'm going to keep sitting where I am, so I'll be able to see the kids better." He kept pushing and said I could see them from where he was, and he stared at me silently for what seemed like an hour before I scooted slightly closer to him to make things feel less awkward. I sat on the edge of the blanket and tried to avoid eye contact with him while I focused on the kids and made sure that he wasn't getting too close. All of this to say, I was getting some weird vibes from him. I figured my weird vibes were stemming from his culty beliefs, so I just shrugged it off. But my gut would be burning for days after our interactions. I also found that he spoke very poorly about women, especially his child's mother. I figured he was just another misogynistic weirdo. He then went on a truck run, and when he came back, he immediately wanted to get the kids back together again. I told my mom that I had to be there, so we arranged a date and time when I wasn't working. For this play date, we went to a paint studio for the kids, and again, the whole time he was offering me drinks. At this public art studio, for kids. Now, drinks were not served. He ran to a nearby bar to get a drink and then brought it into the children's art studio. He was literally holding onto a beer while he was surrounded by kids painting portraits of Bluey. It was so bizarre. We went from the art studio to a trampoline park, and as the kids were joking around and jumping and playing, he repeatedly picked me up and threw me into the foam ball pit despite my clear discomfort. I also kept telling him I wasn't feeling well and asked him to stop. He then pulled me down on top of him while he was lying on the trampoline. This clearly upset me, so I stormed off and took my daughter with me. At one point before that, I had gotten a friction burn on my wrist from sliding down the trampoline too fast, and he took my wrist, grabbed it hard, and intentionally pressed down on the open sore. I couldn't sleep for days after that playdate. I also started smoking cigarettes again after having quit for 10 years. My thoughts have just been racing constantly every time I've interacted with this guy. I even called my brothers and started telling them how odd our mom's friend is, and I ended up crying out of pure fear as I was talking about this man. Even talking about him put me on edge at one point, where I felt like my stomach was shaking. This nauseating feeling lasted for weeks. I'm not sure if this man is just socially awkward or disturbed or what, but my body has never physically reacted so strongly to a person besides my ex-husband's father. Obviously, I can't say what his deal was for sure, but between his participation in the extreme church group and his naturally devious nature, I know he's not somebody that I want to mess with. When I was a freshman in high school, Alyssa was my role model. Alyssa was a senior. She was so gorgeous, confident, and smart. She was also always effortlessly stylish and owned every room that she was in. Back then, I was too shy to talk to her. Seniors are already pretty intimidating to freshmen, but Alyssa was next level intimidating because she was such a queen. I didn't expect anyone to see me the way that I saw Alyssa. But I was pleasantly surprised when my senior year rolled around. During that senior year, I started finding cute little notes in my locker. I wasn't expecting this to happen, but I found it really flattering. The first one I received read, "You were beautiful in that dress on Friday." The handwriting was neat and simple with a cute little heart at the end. More notes kept coming, always during fourth period class. I got a note every week or two, and I knew that these notes were being dropped off sometime during fourth period because I always checked my locker before and after every class. They were all very sweet. They said things like, "Your smile lights up the hallway. You shine brighter than any star. Your homecoming photos look like they're straight off a magazine cover. So stunning." These notes made me think of Alyssa. I remember thinking that I might have written messages like this to Alyssa if we had ever spoken, so honestly, I thought they were possibly from a shy underclassman girl. I had my suspicions of who that could be, but I didn't tell anyone about the notes. I didn't want my friends to turn this into an investigation and embarrass whoever was leaving them, especially since I thought whoever was leaving these messages meant well. Then, during the second semester, my schedule changed. My last class of the day was upstairs near my friend's locker, and my friend's last class was near my locker, so we decided to swap lockers. I forgot all about the notes until my 18th birthday. That morning, my friend handed me a note that she found in her locker, which was clearly mistaken for mine. The note said, "Happy birthday, princess." At first, she thought that the notes were meant for her since those compliments suited her so well. But she found the birthday note and realized it was my birthday, and she put two and two together. Come to think of it, I don't think any of the notes ever said my name. That was when I came clean about the notes. I explained that I had been receiving them all year and said that I didn't want to make a big deal about it. So my friends then launched the investigation that I had been worried about. All of the girls in my friend group became detectives trying to solve this mystery. One friend, who didn't have a fourth period class, stationed herself by the lockers to surveil the area. And it worked. The notes were not from a shy freshman, though. They weren't even from a boy. They were from a janitor, an older woman whom none of us knew. We all recognized her, but I didn't think any of us had ever even talked to her. She had been leaving me these notes for several months and watching me closely enough to comment on my outfits. She even went to my field hockey games and often referenced what I posted on Facebook. I saw her at the last field hockey game of the season. She sat quietly in the stands. That was the only time I noticed her watching me. And this made me wonder how many other places I didn't notice her. And that's something that I'll never know. None of us ever brought this up to her, and I never mentioned this to anyone since she hadn't truly done anything, but it still felt unsettling in a way that's hard to explain. You know how every project these days seems to require a dozen different tools? One for notes, one for outlines, one for editing. And before you know it, half of your time is spent switching tabs. It gets chaotic fast. That's why I've been using Grammarly, because it actually lets me do everything in one place, from rough drafts to polished final versions. Grammarly has features that are tailor-made for working professionals, so you can get all of your writing done from start to finish all in one place. It helps you bring more polish and impact to your emails, presentations, and proposals without switching between tools and tabs, one of my biggest pet peeves. And it does this all while keeping your voice consistent and helping your ideas move forward. AI isn't going anywhere, and Grammarly is one of those tools that makes it easier to stay on top of everything. Whether it's getting feedback on how your writing sounds to others, or asking the AI chatbot to brainstorm a proposal or summarize meeting notes, it really saves a ton of time. Grammarly is designed to help professionals with real-time writing support on any project, email, and more. One easy place to get quick help from AI whenever you're writing. In fact, 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Sign up for free and experience how Grammarly can elevate your professional writing from start to finish. Visit grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Back in the early 2000s, on a Friday night, I was out with a group of buddies, including my best friend, with whom I still talk daily. He remembers the next series of events the same way I do, so I feel like my recollection of this evening is essentially verified. As a note, we were in high school when this happened, and everyone in this story grew up in conservative Christian households. So there was no alcohol or drugs consumed that would potentially affect anyone's perception or memory as the night played out. My friends and I were all meeting up at our buddy Jeremy's house to watch a movie that we had rented at Blockbuster. My buddy and I were in one car, and we arrived a few minutes ahead of our other two friends in our group, which included Jeremy. Instead of going inside the house and waiting for the other two, my friend and I decided to park the car in the cul-de-sac and wait until Jeremy and our other friend arrived. We were talking and listening to music just to pass the time, and I remember thinking that staying in the car beat having an awkward conversation with Jeremy's parents inside. A few minutes later, Jeremy and our other friend showed up. But instead of getting out of the car to go inside, the two of them just hopped in the back of the car that we were in. For the next couple of minutes, we were joking about how weird we were being and how it probably looked kind of sketchy. After a little while, we were just talking and laughing. It was a good time, and it was nice that we didn't have to keep the noise down or worry about Jeremy's parents eavesdropping on our conversation, which probably just consisted of the girls that we liked and random stuff like sports and movies. About 90 minutes later, sometime past midnight, a white van drove up slowly and parked in the driveway of Jeremy's neighbor's house. We were chatting about other stuff, but all four of us were watching the van intently. The guy sat in his van for a while, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. From our vantage point, we couldn't see the driver clearly, but we didn't want to leave our car and risk having him spot us. Also, there was an unspoken feeling that we all had that we needed to see who this guy was and what he was up to. After a little while, the guy emerged from the van. He appeared to be alone and he was wearing dark clothing. He was clean-shaven. He appeared to be in his 30s or 40s and had a full head of dark hair. If I saw him out on the street or at a gas station, he wouldn't have stood out in any way whatsoever. Jeremy said that he had never seen the guy before, but he definitely knew that he didn't live in the house that he had parked in front of. Then the stranger got out of his van and just stood next to the driveway, looking squarely in our direction. We all ducked down in the car so that he couldn't see us clearly, but we had to sit up in our seats just high enough to be able to watch him. Honestly, I never felt like we were in any kind of immediate danger because there were four of us and we were all over 6 feet tall. We were at a pretty safe distance if he did try anything anyway. But in hindsight, if he had a gun, we would have been in deep trouble. After a few minutes, the guy turned around and walked to the front of his van and out of our sight. We then caught a glimpse of him walking in the darkness of the driveway and then to the front porch of the house. He never looked back in our direction, and he didn't appear to be in a rush. He just calmly walked up the front porch steps and to the front door. And then he stood there. He never knocked or rang the doorbell. He was as still as a statue, but every now and again, he would tiptoe as if he were trying to peer into the glass to see inside while remaining undetected. His hands appeared to be empty, so he didn't seem to have any weapons or tools from what we could see. Now, at this point, the vibe in our car pivoted from us having fun to us wondering, are we going to have to fight this guy or call the police? It was honestly kind of frightening because I didn't know what was going to happen next or how we would all respond. It was all in this guy's hands, but he just stood there at the front door for a while. In my mind's eye, it was 20 minutes. It could have easily been shorter than that in real life, but it was definitely an absurd amount of time to be waiting on a stranger's porch. We were debating whether we should honk the horn and blow our cover just to let the guy know that he was being watched, or if we should just call the police and say some creepy guy from a van was standing outside someone's house after midnight. In hindsight, we should have called Jeremy's parents to let them know, or just called the cops, but we didn't do any of that. Instead, we just watched and waited, and we all felt flabbergasted as we tried to figure out what he was doing. Finally, the guy calmly stepped back off of the porch and got into his van. He started it up right away and began to reverse out of the driveway. In our infinite wisdom, we decided to follow the guy in our car with the high beams off. It was a unanimous decision. We all felt like we needed to make sure that this guy actually left the neighborhood. The guy was driving very slowly, and all hope that we had of being stealthy quickly went out the window as we were clearly following him. We were the only two cars at this point because it was getting late. The van started to pick up speed as it approached the neighborhood exit. My friend picked up the pace to match. The van accelerated even more as it hit the open road and officially exited the neighborhood. We stopped the car at the exit and waited to ensure that he didn't hit a U-turn and drive right back. I remember being relieved that we weren't following the guy for any longer because that would have upped the ante even more. After a few minutes, we turned the car around and headed back to Jeremy's house. We all had a rush of adrenaline and were talking about how crazy this was. We got back to the cul-de-sac and parked the car in the same spot. We emerged from the car and began to walk towards Jeremy's house. Looking back at the car, I pointed out to the guys how we were parked directly below the street lamp so that the car was clearly illuminated. We honestly couldn't have been more visible if we had tried. So, during our whole stakeout, while we thought we were incognito, the guy probably could have clearly seen all four of us the entire time. Since we were all kind of jazzed up from this, and being so much younger at the time, we didn't really sleep well that night. Every 15 minutes or so, we would wake up and peek outside the window that faced the neighbor's house to make sure that the van didn't return. To our knowledge, it didn't come back. Or if it did, the guy risked being there at sunrise because we were up until at least 4 a.m. All night, we were peppering Jeremy with questions, and once again, he said he had never seen the man or the van before. And he said that there was 0% chance that he lived there. We asked if he could have been a relative of the neighbor or something, but Jeremy said no, and he was sure of it. Writing this down now, I'm pretty grateful that the neighbor family wasn't attacked or that the guy didn't escalate things with us even after we were watching him and following him. It was a creepy encounter, but nobody got hurt. But I do regret not calling the cops with the guy's description and license plate, which one of us wrote down pretty early on in the encounter. But it would have been smart to call the cops and have something on file about the guy. In addition to the night's oddities, what strikes me now is how random it was for us to be sitting outside in the car for that long. My friend and I had never hung out in the car like that before, and we never did afterward either. It was a one-time thing, and we just happened to be staying at Jeremy's. Even though it was a scary evening, I'm glad that we were there and that the guy could see us. It's scary to think what could have happened if we weren't there to bear witness. So to the porch man, let's not meet again. This happened a very long time ago when I was in second grade. I had to use the bathroom, so I asked if I could go. The teacher gave me permission, and I walked down to the end of the hall near where it opened to the playgrounds. Now, we had legitimate lockdowns in this school a few times due to danger in the immediate area. Lockdowns were especially necessary for us since there was this big old gate out in front that was always open. The gate was even open when the school was closed, and it was right on the edge of the playground, very close to where I was going to do my business. As I turned into the bathroom, I could hear a man's voice harshly scolding someone with some cuss words. This struck me as odd since I was a girl going into the girls' bathroom. But I didn't think anything of it and walked in like the naive child I was. I saw this man sitting in the center stall with the door open, and he had one earbud in. He looked up and saw me, and in that moment I could tell something was very wrong. His pants were down, and his hand was pressed up to his head. His eyes looked crazy, as he reached out to grab me. I jumped back, but he sat down on the toilet with his fists clenched. After a beat, he looked up at me again with an enraged expression and made this flurry of hand motions as he seemed to scream at me to get out. I then ran outside and waited by the doorway. To me, I felt like I just had to let him finish up, thinking that he needed privacy and was just frustrated or embarrassed that I had caught him with the door open. So, I waited. After all, I still had to go. Some time passed, and he never left, but I still heard him in there, cussing and muttering angrily under his breath as I lingered by the door. I would have left and gone back to class, but at that age, I had developed a freeze response to intense situations. My friend from class eventually came to get me, saying it was time to go back since I had been gone too long. So I went back to class with my friend despite still needing to use the bathroom. When we got back to class, I noticed the time and realized I had been standing there for half an hour waiting to use the bathroom. When the teacher asked me what was going on, I told her. And just like the rest of the irresponsible teachers at that school, she ignored it and said that I was lying. I would have passed this off as just my imagination at best, or just a man having a bad day at its worst, had it not been for what happened a year later. The following year, a woman, whom I had never seen before, came to talk to me about the man I had seen. I told her everything that I could and asked, "Why are you asking me about this after so long? It happened a year ago. Why didn't anyone talk to me then?" She nervously laughed and said something along the lines of, "Brave kids have told their teachers about this man, so it's likely your incident wasn't isolated, and I'm asking around about this guy." Looking back on it, I get the feeling the situation was likely much more serious than I was made to believe by my friends and teachers. So, to that strange man who tried to grab me in the girls' bathroom, let's not meet. Happy Halloween, Let's Not Meet listeners. Well, we're almost there. But if you're craving more horror stories during this spooky season, how about true horror stories, just like what you hear on Let's Not Meet? Well, I want to invite you to enter the world of Radio Rental for your weekly dose of chilling, real-life horror stories. That's right, the stories in Radio Rental are 100% true and told by real people. These one-of-a-kind tapes are so frightening, so mind-bending, that you won't be able to sleep at night. Visit Radio Rental now for their newest and scariest installment yet. Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're a Let's Not Meet listener, you're gonna love it.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm a 40-year-old female and this happened 20 years ago, but it's still very vivid in my mind. At the time, I was working alone in a somewhat seedy area in my hometown at a 24-hour adult video and toy store. I more often than not ended up working the overnight shift, which wasn't usually too bad. Occasionally, I'd get some drunk guys coming in from the bar next door, but most of the customers I interacted with were pretty respectful. On this particular night, a man came in sometime after midnight. I wasn't sure of his age. He seemed like the sort of guy who was perpetually 50, so let's just say he was somewhere between 30 and 50 years old. He had the same haircut as Johnny Depp in that Willy Wonka movie, and he talked in this strange, falsetto, Michael Jackson-esque voice. It really made my skin crawl. He asked me to call a cab for him, so I did. I nervously told him that he could wait in front of the store for it, and probably made something up about how only paying customers were allowed to linger inside the store, but he ignored me. He slowly made his way further into the store and continued to make conversation with me. I'm not sure what it was, but I could tell that something was up with this guy. I felt like he was going to skin me and wear me like a suit. He was standing right next to the phone on the counter, leaning against it. I kept telling him his taxi would be here any minute, but he ignored me and kept asking questions. I remember him asking, "Do you have any pussycats?" I hesitantly replied, "No." "I was led to believe that I would find pussycats here," he insisted. "If I had a dildo within reach to brandish as a weapon or some spray lube to use as a makeshift pepper spray, I definitely would have used it on him." Thankfully, just then, this beautiful angel of a man who decided he needed to rent porn after midnight came in. I immediately greeted him and said, "Oh, I need to talk to you about your special order." When he approached the counter to ask what I meant, I just whispered, "Please stay here for a minute." Then I subtly gestured towards the creepy guy who was lingering nearby, staring at us and smiling. My guardian porn renter went along with the ruse, and thank baby Jesus, the creep went outside shortly after that and got into his taxi. The customer asked if I was okay after that, and I said that I was, so he went to browse. And as a thank you, I gave him a free rental. I swear to God, I can still hear this man's bizarre voice whenever I think about this interaction. So to that insufferable Willy Wonka customer, let's not meet again. In 2008, I was 16 and living in a small town where the same faces were seen over and over again. One of them was this man who was in his mid-30s. He had a scruffy beard and always wore this one worn-out jacket, so he was just someone I assumed was passing through. But then I started to notice him more. I noticed that he would always be outside the shop I went to after school. I also always saw him leaning against the fence across from the school gates, or walking a little way behind me on my route home. He was always just far enough away to make me second-guess myself, but he was always there. One Saturday afternoon, I was walking into town to meet up with a mate of mine when I saw him at the bus stop. As I passed, he fell into step right beside me. He asked, "Are you all right, Ryan?" I froze for a second. I had never told this person my name. He then asked if I still lived up by the church. That was where my street was, but I had never mentioned it to him. Then came more questions. "You usually get back from school around 3:30, right? You still playing football on Tuesdays? Does your mom still work at the local post office?" The way that he asked these things, it wasn't casual conversation. It's like he was checking his facts. I just told him I had to go and sped up. He smiled and said, "Don't worry, I'll catch you another time." A few nights later, after football practice, it was dark, and I was walking the quiet route home. From behind me, I heard that same voice. "There aren't many people out tonight. It's a good night for a walk." He was standing under a streetlight with his hands in his pockets, just grinning at me. Then he asked, "Your bedroom's the one in the back of the house, isn't it?" I didn't answer. I just walked as fast as I could without running. After that, I started changing my routes, my walking times, everything. It took a few weeks to solidify my changes, but I never saw him again after that. However, every time I walk home alone in the dark, I half expect to hear his voice right behind me. A few years later, I was flicking through the local paper and I froze. There was a face that I recognized. It was him staring back at me. The article accompanying his picture said he had been arrested for assaulting an elderly woman in her home. They had a mugshot, and it was exactly how I remembered him. Scruffy beard, dead eyes, and that same unsettling grin. I want to preface this story with the day my brother and I moved into our new townhome. Now, we had been living with each other for a long time, so moving in together wasn't unusual. On the very first morning in our new place, I stepped outside to smoke a cigarette. My brother followed me, and we were talking about football, when we suddenly froze, pointing toward the wooden frame of our covered patio. Written in big black marker was my name, Ryan. Neither of us had friends or family over yet, because we had just moved everything ourselves. It hadn't been there the night before, so we stood there confused, but never figured out how it was written there. Fast forward to 2 months later. One night, I went out to a bar down the street with a good friend while my brother stayed at home. It was a normal night. I left the bar, grabbed some food, and got back home at around 1 a.m. My brother was already asleep, so I ate, went upstairs with my German Shepherd, and crashed. The next morning, I immediately noticed something was wrong. My bedroom door was wide open, and my dog wasn't in the room. That never happens. My brother doesn't enter my room when I'm asleep, and he definitely doesn't let my dog out. Even so, I brushed it off and didn't think anything of it until I went downstairs. The first thing my brother asked me was, "Did you bring someone home last night?" I told him no, and his face suddenly changed. He had an expression of fear, not confusion. He then asked again, "Are you sure nobody came back with you?" No one had, and I swore as much. I also let my brother know that I didn't even talk to anyone when I went out the night before, aside from my friend. And that was when he told me what happened. At around 3 a.m., he heard loud noises downstairs. Thinking that I was putting together the IKEA desk that I had just bought, he got out of bed to yell at me for being so loud. When he reached the landing halfway down the staircase, he flicked the light on, and at the bottom of the stairs was this random girl. She was just standing there, calmly picking up my desk box that had fallen over. She leaned it against the wall, then looked straight up at him, and neither one of them said a word. I asked him why he didn't confront her or call the police. He said that my German Shepherd was standing right next to her, completely relaxed. He assumed that she was someone that I had brought home because of this. What unsettled him the most was that this girl didn't panic at all when she saw my brother. She acted like she belonged there. After locking eyes, she casually walked into the living room instead of going out the front door, which was literally 2 feet behind her. Then, he turned the light off, went back to bed, and decided to ask me who she was in the morning. After talking to me the next morning, everything clicked for him. I have no idea who this girl was, but it all seems like, at some point, she had been in my room since my dog was with her. So to whoever this was, let's not meet. Don't miss our next live stream episode of Let's Not Meet on November 1st at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/CrypticCounty. We're going to bring back some of our favorite guests like Soren Narnia of Night Point Horror, Amanda and Cassidy of Drinking the Kool-Aid, plus new guests like Kedra Brannon of the Perplexity podcast, Kaylin Moore of Heart Starts Pounding, my assistant producer Jennifer Hollywood, and yours truly will all be doing video performances of all of the stories that you'll hear on the following week's episodes. You won't want to miss it. These are very special events, and I look forward to them every year. So don't miss out on this one. Again, that's twitch.tv/CrypticCounty. On November 1st at 7 p.m. Pacific, let's celebrate a second Halloween together. If you're a patron, stick around after the music for your extended version of this week's episode. If you'd like to get access, go to patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast to sign up and support the show today. You'll get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, plus bonus content in those extensions every single week with stories you won't hear anywhere else. Oh, and did I also mention that you'll now be getting all of those episodes the week prior, so you're going to get early ad-free extended episodes. It's the best way to listen to the show. patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast. Finally, be sure to check out the new episodes of all of my other podcasts like Odd Trails, my true paranormal podcast, and the Old Time Radiocast at crypticcountypodcasts.com, and follow me at Twitch at twitch.tv/crypticcounty. This week you have heard The First Vacation My Boyfriend and I Ever Went On by Puppy Girl Games, Creepy 4 a.m. Caller by Hattie130, I Think My Mom's Church Friend Is a Serial Offender by Blame It on Begoniaz, Bizarre Notes from a Secret Admirer by Glitter Heels 21, The Porch Man by Pumpkin Dog, Old Childhood Memory with a Sinister Feeling by Storyteller Eclipse, To the Creepy Guy in the Adult Video Store by Stargazing Lily, The Man Who Knew My Name, My Address, and My Bedroom by Lawn King, and finally, She Acted Like She Belonged, But She Didn't, by Penny Sleeve Pro. All of the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody stay safe.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited. time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.